Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life.
Hey everyone, we're here. We're back. Another episode. Dave, I'm actually really excited about this because this conversation is one of the main ones that helped me make some actual very concrete changes in my life. And it's a concept that I think a lot of people neglect or maybe don't understand. Maybe we've decided not to want to look there anymore. So for those who doesn't know, Breakfast with Manny was me and David going for breakfast sessions and then talking about life. And this is one of my favorite topics. So Dave, what is masculine? What is feminine energy?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, first of all, before we start, I want to say this is the episode I'm most excited about so far, but I'm also a little afraid of, because as soon as you say masculine and feminine, people get really...
Yeah.
I just want to make the point. It's masculine and feminine energetics. So everybody has masculine and feminine energy in them. And a really simple way to think about it is, it's just that there's energies that move towards something, or some people call it more penetrating energy or yang energy. And there's energy that's receptive. And again, that's like receiving energy or yin energy. So it's super important. I'll tell you, I'm shocked as I got into my coaching practice and started to work with couples that, and I'm going to share with you later a story about just this concept actually changed the course of their lives. And they were able to actually stay together. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But before I do that, I do want to go back because I like to sort of think about things that we've done already. One of the other big things we talked about in relationships is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I had the perfect example of what happened with my trainer, who's an awesome lady. She's 25, like best smile you've ever seen, great lady. Her and her boyfriend had some problems and they agreed. The one thing they agreed was to get therapy. And it was his job and his homework to get therapy, okay? So he had an invitation to be the higher masculine, and I'm gonna talk about higher masculine energy in a minute. Get shit done, fix that problem. And what did he do? He keeps putting it off every week. So every week it undercuts their relationship. And so I told her, I said, well, how would you feel if that guy went to you and just said, hey, listen, I'm really struggling with the idea of going to therapy. And that's why I haven't made the appointment. And she's like, oh, that would be so amazing. And I know this guy, you can tell, like, he thinks it looks weak to admit it, but by admitting it and connecting, it would be better. So
then to avoid and, yeah, right. Not show commitment in terms of what was initially agreed.
So keeping your words really important. And right. So what we're going to talk about today is just sort of this concept of the different energies. And I'll speak from my own personal position, which is I'm a more masculine male. I'm relatively balanced, but I'm more masculine male and I would probably have a more feminine partner. Right?
Right.
So what does that mean? What does it look like? And how important is that in a relationship? So, you know, one of the things that's interesting in today's world is a lot of energy, sexual energy has been neutralized because men have become maybe a little softer, women have become a little harder, and everyone's in the middle a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's like a dead battery in a relationship, mm-hmm. right?
You need to have kind of like that change in energies for it to kind of like dancing energies at the end of the day, right? For things to work.
Yeah.
Because when we talked about this the first time, I remember I was just a bit confused because as you mentioned, today we have this idea that everything has to be kind of neutral. But, and I think a lot of the things you say are inspired by David Data, correct? But we need to have that polarity or that dance for it to change. And I think you'll give some practical examples and elements you get into this
we will,
eventually.
Yeah.
But for someone, David, who today says, you know, I don't think that's true. I think, you know, masculine and feminine is just a way to put people in categories. How would you approach this or how would you answer to someone who's like...
I'd go back to energetics. Like if you talk about there's receiving energy and there's moving forward energy,
yep.
It's hard to debate that. And I'm going to show that right away.
Cool.
And like, we're stepping into the minefield a little bit on this episode, yep. But as I said, the difference between excited and scared is interpretation anyway, so it is what it is. But I think one of the things I want to talk about as a man, and a lot of men have shared with me, we feel very awkward about desiring a woman now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we even allowed to desire women anymore? And I think that's a super important point. But I'll give you an example of, I got a couple of examples for us. Let me tell you a couple of stories. So one is, I was at a meeting in Europe, and I was with a group of younger people, being an old guy. And we were talking about this concept, and they said, well, what the hell do you mean? I'm like, I'll show you. So I grabbed a young lady. She was quite a bit younger than me. I was 48. She's probably 22. And I said, hey, look, imagine we've been on a couple of dates. We're clearly into each other. I'm half my age. And we're clearly into each other. And I do this. And I go, Catherine, like, you're a powerful woman, and I really respect you, and I don't want to offend you. So I was curious if perhaps I could begin the approach for a kiss. Every woman at the table went, gross. Cause confidence is sexy, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I said, contrast that with, and I sort of drew myself up, and this is a while ago, I was in better shape, but I drew myself up and I put my hand on her shoulder and I went, hey, Catherine, come here. And she turned bright red. I'm like, what's up? She goes, oh, that was hot.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to get into it really big with a guest coming up very soon on feminine energies and what's going on with women. I'll just say a lot of women have been told like a lot of things that cut the chemistry, but most importantly, men kill the chemistry. We kill it by not being trustworthy. We kill it by manipulating, by lying, by not keeping our word. All these things that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like super important.
So can you guys still feel manly while being respectful? Because I think that's one of the main things that girl would say, right? Like, oh, yeah. Consensus is a big thing. And I do think consensus, of course, is a very important concept. But can a guy still be manly and then, you know, have that respectful side?
I think you can if you test, like if you're willing to like test and be foolish and, you know, but... one of my girlfriends who agreed with the like, come here.
Yep.
She said, but for fuck's sakes, read the room. Like, read the room, dude.
Right.
If a woman's body language isn't great and she's closed, you know, you don't want to, 100%. And the other thing that's super important, and I'd said it on the first podcast or the second podcast, a lot of women don't feel safe. And this is not saying like, take your masculine energy, be a creep, right? No. But with a woman, I'll tell you another story. So when I was at a conference in Dallas and I met this amazing younger woman. I would have been about 47. She was like 30, but she was a podcaster coach, super cool. Okay. And we met on the dance floor because I like dancing. And so we just hit it off. So she came to Montreal to visit and... We seriously, you could feel the attraction. Like there was a heavy attraction. And again, I didn't start this podcast to not be courageous. I'll tell the true story. When she got into the house, like we kissed and then I threw her up against the wall because I just like, I wanted her like, and like it went super well. I'm not saying like hurt people or like, obviously that's not what I'm saying, but expressing masculine desire and having it received, there's your battery.
Yeah.
And we're losing a lot of it. So, you know, it was interesting. I saw her a couple of years later and she said, you know, I still talk to people about that first kiss. She goes, nobody's ever done that to me. She goes, guys my age, they want me to kiss them or they play video games or whatever. And she really, really enjoyed it. But again, it's finding that balance with you have to go with consent. You have to be respectful.
Yeah.
But can we charge it up a little bit still? And that's a good question to ask. Some women will not like that. Know your partner, right? But some women they're like, what's wrong with a guy wanting me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like desire's gone by the wayside, which I don't think is cool. You know, isn't that the wonder of a relationship? You know?
Yeah.
And I should say these energetics apply to any relationship. This doesn't just mean heterosexual. These are, you know, these are the energies between a couple or maybe more people, but you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Not just men and women.
Would you say also a couple of people have the idea that, for example, neutral is better because on paper it kind of looks better to say, you know, everyone equal, everyone the same. Because I've heard a lot of girls say, you know, no, like I prefer the, you know, everyone is kind of like exactly on that neutral side.
Yeah.
But then you'll find a scene in a movie in which something like that very they strong happened and they go crazy. Exactly. They love it.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is? Why are we now, I'm not going to say the word brainwashed, but I do feel like we are limiting at the end of the day ourselves.
Great point. So Nana, who's our guest coming up on femininity, I'm going to place mark this on this episode.
Yep.
Nana, help us out with this. She's going to explain a lot of the history that women, a lot of women have been told that, but you know, I just saw, I don't watch TV all that often, but I was on Netflix and there was a really sexy show called Sex and Love, I think it's called.
Okay.
And I literally like froze the picture with the subtitle. It said, so there, I'm going to tell the story. It's super important. So here's a woman. She married Mr. Nice Guy. Beautiful guy, great body, great job. The perfect dude, right?
Yep.
Super sweet. But she can't stop fantasizing about this tall Australian, like super sexy bad boy. And she can't get off it. But she was explaining to her friend, what's missing with your perfect husband? She's like, God damn it, I just want to be desired. Mm. So it's interesting. I think some of it is societal, but it's also super important. It's incredibly important to be neutral at work. At work, you want neutrality. Who cares whatever you designate yourself as sexually or gender or non-gender or whatever you are? That's work. Work should be about your performance, your capabilities, your skills. And don't even get me started on like guys that look like me, middle-aged white guys who run companies and pay women less. Like that's garbage. How does that have anything to do with it? That's garbage. And that's where we need to fight. But men, women can't do it alone. That's where men need to stand up. But in a relationship, it's nice to be able to have the interplay of energies, right? And look, a woman can be the masculine pole one day and the man can be the next day. I think the future of relationships that are highly attractive and sexual is you both know it and you can
play with it basically.
You play with it. Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love it. But but in the majority of the time, you would still, for example, you feel closer or recognize yourself closer to that masculine energy.
Correct.
So how would these switches happen?
Yeah, great question. I love that question. So I'm dating. It's a little bit hell out there, but I'm trying. But I'll give you an example. So one of Robert Glover, who did No More Mr. Nice Guy, says, listen, set the tone of who you are and like make the arrangements. So for example, when I go on a date, first date, I say, look, I know I'll find us a place. I know where to go. And every woman I've ever done that with, I said, oh my God,
you love it.
So nice. Yeah. It's so nice that you actually like had the guts to just pick a place and I didn't have to think of anything and da da da. Contrast that with every single woman I think I've ever talked to said the following. When a guy goes, I don't know, what do you want to do? They hate that. A guy who's just like, I don't know, what do you want to do?
Yeah, they hate it.
Pointless, aimless. There's nothing sexy about that, right? So, you know, actually, I didn't tell you the last part about the young lady story. That was really fun. I stupidly drove into an underground garage with my bikes on the roof. And I just said, Kim, you drive. Told the people behind me, well, just be a second. Don't worry about it. I grabbed the bikes down. I said, Kim, I'll meet you downstairs in the garage. And boom, boom. And she told me later, she's like, man, I found that really attractive. You just took over. You were like super manly about it, you know?
Yeah.
There's an example too, you know? But if you want to take it to another level, like you can consciously choose. And, you know, as a guy, I could say to my partner, like, I'm feeling like being the receiving energy. Like, can you set up the weekend? And she sets it up. And now my femininity and my receptiveness, my connection, all those things leads to her leading. And we can still have a lot of attraction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's dive in. If you don't mind, I think it's time. Let's pull up the chart.
Yep.
So I have two charts. The first one is from one of my mentors, and I am a No More Mr. Nice Guy coach, actually. This is from Robert Glover, who's a very interesting character, and I hope to get him on one day. But let's take a look at just the masculine for a second. So if you look, the way this chart is divided is you sort of have this fear unconscious area below, and you have the conscious abundant love area above. It's about living in the, obviously the higher domains. But when someone's in what we call lower masculine, this is when you see controlling behavior, dominating, raging, rigid, aggressive, abusive, destructive.
Yeah.
Rings a bell, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a story about that. So here's how masculine and feminine energies can work. It probably could have saved my marriage. So in my marriage, at first I blamed my ex-wife. Sorry, Jenny. And again, for those of you who haven't heard an episode before, Jenny and I are really good friends. She's a great lady. We were both less conscious when we were married. But as I started to shrink away, I became, if you go over to the lower side of feminine, I felt victimized. I did what nobody should do. I'm like, she's mean to me. She's yelling at me. Poor me, right? Yeah. And that was an excuse for me to like, go talk to another woman or run away or go play hockey. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to argue with you. And what's interesting is she got more and more and more masculine and I got more and more and more feminine. So I became needy. I felt trapped. I was passive aggressive. It was terrible. So when you're circulating in the lower area, huge trouble, right? Huge trouble. So let's look at what we aspire to. And I do later have a much more comprehensive list, but for the purposes of this, when you look at the penetrating energy or masculine energy, again, not male, just masculine,
yep,
it's all about action, discipline, problem solving, leading, providing and protecting. Super important. You're validated internally. You are who you want to be, right? You look at the other side, this is the penetrated or receiving energy. This is where someone seeks connection, is very open and inviting, receptive. They magnify and reflect love. This is a huge concept for men. If your woman is not being loving, it's generally because she's not getting what she needs from you. Mm. It's not about her. And it's so easy to go, oh, she's a bitch. I'm not even going to talk to her.
Yeah.
Or you run away or you find another woman. Not cool.
Would does that you, make sense? Yeah, it does make sense. Would you say, you know, would you say there needs to be that masculine side and feminine side at all times for it to work? My question to you is, for example, a woman's going to listen to this and say, oh, right, I feel like I get like my attributes or the way I am is much closer to the, you know, penetrate side of things, to the action, to the powerful, disciplined, validated by himself or herself.
Yeah.
Would that woman be able to be, you would say, with a man who is also on that kind of like masculine side most of the times, or it's difficult? I'm just trying to see.
That's a good question. I mean, in general, a masculine type woman like that, who's very achievement oriented and very like, you know, moving forward.
Because that's the idea we're pushing. And I've spoken to girls, right? They're like, this is like, I'm a woman, but I'm this profile.
Yeah.
How do we work with these kind of situations?
Well, I'm going to be interested to talk to Nana about this in a future episode, but my personal feeling is like, that's a useful persona and a useful way to be at work. It might not be as rewarding at home.
In the context of
a
relationship.
In the context of a relationship. But you have to understand, like, it's you can't overstate how unsafe most women feel. And as men, I think it's really important that we open our hearts to that too. Problem is, if you overcorrect and you become this like the flaccid male that we talked about previously, you will not inspire. You're going to have very, very unsatisfying sex. And they do call it an intimate relationship for a reason. Now, Dida talks a lot about neutral people being with another neutral person. They're not really driven by sex that much. It can work really, really well. But if you have too masculine, there's no space for the energy to flow. So you will end up, usually in those cases, they would fight each other. Or usually a more masculine woman may take on a more feminine man, feminine energetic man, which is fine. That can work really well.
Or maybe there's been also cases, I would tend to believe, of women who believe maybe at home or on that relationship side of things, they are more masculine, but because they never met or interacted with other signing, which allows them maybe to feel that feminine side of things.
I'm so glad you said that, because every woman I told about this podcast, they're like, could you please do this? Could you please talk to men about, at some levels, on the good level, be men again? And I think what they mean by men is more higher masculine, right? So let's look at a case study again. Oops, sorry. I lost my little there, bud. Let's look at JM. He's a guy from a previous podcast. So those of you who didn't see that episode, he's a guy that's been seeing a woman for several years, calls me, needs some help. And he says, look, I'm kind of obsessed with her. And like, I wait around for her calls and texts and everything's on her schedule. And she told me, by the way, man, you're not my boyfriend. Never were my boyfriend and you never will be my boyfriend. And so he became 100% in the lower feminine quadrant. And I will say, I know this guy, like he's a more masculine guy. If you want to be miserable as a man who is more masculine in your like tone, be a victim or be in that lower feminine. So he was needy. He was just like, she won't call me. Blah, blah. And so he wasn't able to sort of get out of this lower fear deprivation space. And understand, like he was in scarcity, right? He's like, is this woman the only woman on earth? The woman who tells you like, you're not my boyfriend. The woman who, she even told him like, we're not having sex anymore. What happened was lower femininity in a man is not attractive.
Yeah.
So, and that goes back to what we talked about before, which is like, don't make a woman your entire being or your cake, make her the icing. So this guy, he literally, his life stopped until he had this woman line. So when you tie your happiness to an external source, that's actually, you're a victim of that. So what I mean by that is when she texts and calls, he's happy. When she doesn't, he's sad. You're pinning yourself to someone else. And higher masculine behavior means you do things for yourself because that's who you want to be, right?
Yeah, I think I've right? rarely spoken or I've never met a man that looked happy. I guess that's my opinion, but looked happy while that person admitted being dependent on another person.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see it all the time, right? You have so many examples of stories like that.
Yeah, Let's kick into another story before I go into the deeper chart, because I have a really deep chart that we're going to get into. But, and this story is like super meaningful to me. It's one of the reasons I coach and why I want to keep coaching. So I had met a couple at a seminar. I got to go to more seminars again after COVID here.
I remember you used to go literally all the time.
A lot of good shit going on there. Yeah. So we'll call them Bob and Jane. So Jane calls me. She's like, how you doing? You still coaching? I'm like, yeah. She's like, we'll call him Bob. Bob and I are really struggling. She's like, I can't fucking stand it anymore. Like, I think I want to get a divorce. I'm like, whoa. Like, hang on. What's going on? And so she explained some of the stuff that was going on. And it was unbelievable. So they actually did hire me on for a 6-month, like serious coaching program. The only issue in this relationship was masculine and feminine energetics. That's it. There was nothing else.
So the rest, financially, they were okay. Fine. The life was okay. Yep. So
sex was good, relatively. Okay. But there was a big, big disconnect. So what happened was, he was in the middle of a restructuring at his company. And like, he's a very go-getter guy. Like he's a pretty upper masculine guy in general, but he missed on the protection part and he missed on the like open-heartedness part. So when she became a bit needy and she used to text him at work and he'd be like, why are you texting me? And blah, blah, blah. So she wasn't getting her need for connection met. And he wasn't getting his need for freedom met.
Okay.
Because he needed to be free to restructure his company, right? So I met with them together. I met with them separately. And they had a 1-year-old at the time. I mean, a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And we started to look at it from the other view. And I what's interesting, and this is so important, a little outside this topic, but in a relationship, if you can look at yourself, it's everything. It's so easy to point, like, she's like, he's a jerk. He's this. And I said to Jane, I'm like, well, maybe we should talk about your neediness feelings. Right. So she took full responsibility for her neediness and she went from lower feminine to upper feminine. supporting her man, seeing her man as a warrior going out to like save her family.
Right? Mm.
She worked too. She was an entrepreneur too. She still had her masculine side. She was fine. But he felt like, you know, all this pressure. She also gave him a little bit of space when he got home to decompress. Like, she didn't run to him and go, oh, we haven't talked all day. And then he was able to meet her in the middle and start texting her at lunch, start taking days off, which he never did before. But he gave. And like, that's one of the big messages I want to give in this. Love is about giving, not getting. But he moved into this upper masculine. She moved into upper feminine. It starts
to the wheel started to advance again. That is crazy. We seem to forget that we're a couple, we're a team. So someone makes a change, then you'll see that difference start to happen, right? Those changes. That's really interesting.
But we want to invite our partner into higher consciousness. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. I want to tell you the finish of this, and I hope I don't lose it. Because honestly, man, I got to tell you, this hit me so deep. So I do a last call to say, like, how did it go? What could I do better? So they're sitting there 6 months later. And pretty good feedback. I was pretty pleased, but then they started giggling and like elbowing each other. And I'm like, what the hell? Tell them. And she goes, we're having another baby. So I was just like,
wow,
holy shit.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, man, there's nothing different than working on educating them on upper and lower masculine and feminine. That was it. And like, that's why I coach. Like, that's why when you see that kind of stuff going on, that was, their coaching program ended 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. So now they have two kids. But they were phenomenal clients. They took full responsibility for their shit and they worked on themselves, but pretty cool.
No, that's awesome. I mean, it's awesome.
Freaked me out.
And seeing you see that impact at the end of the day of what it did for them, I think that's huge. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, do you think, for the people listening to us right now and being like, you know, I'm kind of facing something similar at the moment. Like, what's something that could help? And what's the first approach? Should it be read the book itself? Like David did a way of experiment, for example? Would it be to request coaching right away? Like, what do you suggest?
Well, it depends on how things are going. I mean, coaching could really help. Because the thing about coaching is you cannot see yourself fully because we have filters, right? Everything gets filtered. And how in the world can you see your blind spots? They're called blind spots, right? So, but the way of the superior man, David, that is great. There's some good stuff in Dr. Glover's book, Robert Glover's book, No More Mr. Nice Guy. But, excuse me, what I would say that's really important is start being whatever. If you're a man who's more feminine, then be in the upper feminine. If you're a man who's more masculine, be in the upper masculine, but invite your partner there. Don't go down with them into the lower. And what I mean by that is sometimes, like I think it's Dr. Glover, or is it David Dida? I think it's David Dida. He says, don't be afraid to like be fully present and just sit there when the storm comes. So one of the biggest mistakes men make is a woman has a moment where she just goes, bah! And I really like what he said. He's like, would you resent the ocean for having waves? No. But what do guys do? They're like, I'll talk to you when you're not crazy. They run away. They judge. They criticize. What if you just sat there and you just emanated loving presence? So presence is a big part of the upper masculine. Just be present. Just be present. Number two, understand trust is everything. You can see that on the grid, right? Trust is everything for higher feminine. I told you in a previous story, I just forgot one little task and the woman I was with just closed like, phew. But stop pointing the finger and figure out, did I break her trust? Was I unconscious? Did I judge her? Did I make her feel unsafe? And now you can start to have a beautiful relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Let me see. I got a few notes. Let me check my notes.
Yeah.
Give me a sec. There's a couple other things I would say. One is So I had this situation recently on a date where I had a, my date got really in her head, and she didn't do anything wrong, but she just thought she did. And to be honest, I made her dance. I'm like, we're dancing, get them in their body, get them moving, you know? And it's just an invitation, right? It's not like, oh, I have to fix you. No, it's an invitation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
You know, for those who don't know, I've been in a relationship for now, we're celebrating 5 years already. So time flies. But 5 years together now. And, you know, we've had these discussions and conversations when we go to for breakfast and fest. And the moments where I felt like, I don't think our relationship has never been in a bad position, but the moments where I felt maybe a bit unhappier were the moments in which I wasn't in my higher masculine. And it's crazy how we tended to reflect on our chemistry, right? On everything.
Yeah, sure.
So, no, that's really interesting. And it's cool to apply these concepts and see the difference it makes.
Yeah. I'm going to take it a level deeper now. So the last part of the podcast, I'm going to go to a deeper list that comes from another mentor of mine.
Yep.
Really interesting stuff. We'll start with the healthy masculine this time. So I'm going to go to masculine, we'll pull it up. Healthy masculine talks about holding space, which really just means presence, right? And one of the greatest gifts you can give to your partner is just presence. Just be there fully. And I'll give you an example. I've seen guys on dates on their phone the whole time. And the woman's sitting like this. Oh my God, right? She's like, come on. Just put the fucking phone down. Be fully present in that moment. So that's one. And another piece of the healthy masculine in this grid, witness without judgment. Judgment is really hard. We all have an ego. But again, the example I gave earlier, like you're crazy. Like I'm not dealing with you. And running away, just be there. And, you know, I got to tell you, storms pass. I've done it many times with, I dated a woman who was extremely feminine. She used to really kind of freak out from time to time. And it was a bit of a test. Like, are you here? Are you present? Do you love me enough to shut the fuck up? Right? And too many guys, they just either judge and run or they fix. And it's like, no. Just loving presence. Mm-hmm. Safety, big one. We've talked about this. Like, for gosh sakes, guys, like, please call each other out. Could we start to make women feel comfortable again?
Yeah.
Because so many women, dude, like, they just feel terrible. Respond rather than react, right? Don't take things too personally. That's great advice in any relationship. Don't take things personally. Some stillness and silence. A woman trusts you a lot more when you're not running around like a maniac. I'll just hit a few of these fast. Discipline, truth and integrity, huge, right? Doing arrives from being, and it says New Zealand or New York. I still don't remember what that means, but you know, being, who do you want to be, right? You stick to your values and women can really trust that. And there's a few more. Awareness is a big one. So if you look at that, okay, I'll go to the other masculine actually. Let's go to the unhealthy. Controversial for the boys on the podcast, I'm sure. Competitive. But my definition of this is unhealthy competition. So let's talk about that for a second. Winning at all costs, I'm not sure that's worth it. And to me, that's unhealthy masculine. So there was, I think we might have talked about it briefly, but in Canada, we had a boys hockey team where the people running the organization created a slush fund to buy off women that were sexually assaulted. And you're telling me that no guy in that room could stand up and go, this is a fucking terrible idea. And I'll use the word like no guts whatsoever. Right. Yeah. One guy stands up, I bet you they all fall in line. So here's the thing that I want to say. Winning with sexual assaulters or rapists, I don't think that's winning. So that's what this means. So, and the other thing I want to say about that, I played a lot of competitive sports. Some of my best games I've ever enjoyed were losses. The 3-2 quadruple overtime game, right? It was awesome. So here's the thing, win at all costs. Like, so what if you won every game 20-1? Would that be fun? It's about the journey, the competition, not really the result. Because as I said, I've lost and had a blast. Mm-hmm. So people don't think of it that way. Attached to success, again, that's sort of like, goes with this, you know, this pursuit of success at all costs. Well, no, not at the cost of your values.
Yeah.
Or the world, or women feeling safe. Cold and distant. Every woman that watches this podcast knows that movie, right? Guy just like shuts down. Has to be right. That goes with the ego side of things. Afraid of failure. We have to accept failure. I suck at this. Something in me is wired where I just freak out when I fail. I literally have a body reaction. It has to do with my childhood stuff. But anyway, underconnects, moves away from love, bully, aggressive. This is all pretty classic. Narcissism. I'm always shocked how many beautiful, nice, sweet women end up with narcissists. Happens a lot. And I think, I'm pretty sure we're going to have an episode on narcissism because it's so prevalent and so painful. A few other ones, reactive, Mr. Fix-It, bypasses the emotional body. So they're stuck in their head. They don't connect with their body. So much more detailed, as you can see, eh? So let's look at the healthy side. So we end on a positive note because we don't want people to get depressed. So on the healthy feminine side, grounded, compassionate, ask for what she needs. She's vulnerable. She or he, to energy wise, vibrates with energy and sounds, flowing. So, you know, I don't know how you feel. I find it really sexy when a woman's a great dancer, right? Because she's in flow.
Yep.
And I don't know, you like dancing? Do you dance?
I do dance, yes.
So we express our flow too, which is our feminine side. Nothing wrong with that. It's all good. Authentic, manifests and generates, connects and weaves, very intuitive, very attuned. So I'm sure you've had it with your girlfriend where you're just like, wow, she's just open, receptive.
Mm-hmm.
And when a woman closes, I think it's many times men that need to be aware of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, talking about dance, I think that's a perfect example because we started taking classes together. And before that, I wasn't a great dancer and I'm still not a great dancer, but the difference is now I'm able to lead better.
Nice.
As a dancer.
Nice.
And so my girlfriend feels more free in her dance because of that lead. And so I've seen her enjoy. And she even tells me after like, wow, that was a great session. I loved it. And my mission at the end of the day is to guide her to do or to look great. Because she does look great when she starts dancing. So I think that's a very, very interesting point there.
I
would recommend honestly dancing for a lot of guys who, most girls love to dance, not everyone. But I think that's a great way also to...
But you've created chemistry there, right? Because you're leading and she's following.
Absolutely.
That's how, like, when you asked me earlier, and I think we'll close on this, you asked me, like, what about neutralizing everything? To me, that's a dance with no lead. And I don't care who leads, but somebody needs to lead and somebody needs to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. It's not the man or the woman. I don't care. But if you don't know about this stuff, most men end up killing chemistry. They kill it. By being too nice, or they're needy, or they're resentful. And, you know, I've been there. I've been with a woman where I was just like, she didn't text me. Like, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh God, I'm in my lower feminine energy and I'm needy and I'm a victim. And we'll talk about how to deal with that in a future podcast. But I love your example. I wanted to go through this. It's a huge topic. This is a total trampoline into the femininity side of things. We're going to get the feminine, perspective from our guest coming up.
Yep.
And when you put these two episodes together, I think it'll be really useful for everybody.
No, totally agree. And just for a little reminder here, we're trying to build a community here. We want to bring these discussions so we can talk about these things. So any stories, any comments, anything that you want us to know, we're going to bring this up to the show anyways. And even when we're going to have guests, we can bring these comments up for discussion. So at the end of the day, as we said before, if we can impact the lives of men to at the end of the day and women and people at the end of the day to put in practice these things, I'm sure it'll help a lot of people, just like the couple you ended up helping with your coaching.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I think one last message is, you know, a practical tip for people is, I think a lot of men are not fully honest. And start there. Just, you'd be shocked how well received it is when you're just honest. Just be honest. It's unbelievable how that unlocks trust.
Right.
And as we know, trust is everything. So,
and it commands respect as well. So,
yeah. Cool. Definitely. Thanks, man.
Dave, great session.
Hey, great session. Another Breakfast with Manny done. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
And really, I'm excited about the next podcast with our special guest. So make sure you see that. So thanks, everyone.
See ya.
Ciao.